We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the Radio Network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Breaking news in the presidential campaign of 2024.
Making it official, he is running for president.
And that is why today I am officially announcing my bid to be the next president of the United States of America.
And he joins us now for his first television interview since his announcement.
Thanks for having me, Janine. Listen, America is in trouble, okay? I don't need to tell you that. And it is high time that we restore some sanity to this country. Now, I'm not interested in all that, okay? I'm in this strictly for the likes and the clicks. I mean, think what this kind of publicity could do for my career. My socials are already blowing up.
So why now, and what distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I thought you'd never ask.
I have always been just useless when it comes to many things like legislation, deficits, and stocks. But if you'd like a sassy head of state who also sings, the next time you're electing one, perhaps you'll check my box. For if your state is out of luck, your country has no infrastructure, and you're seeing red or feeling blue, don't you sit and sour in your discontent. Just vote Randy Rainbow for president. If all hope is gone or every day's a big old yawn, then at election time, girl, this is what you do. Tell that Ron DeSantis he should go get bent. And vote Randy Rainbow for president. Just forget the competition and don't let your big decision go to some old politician and his wife. There's no need to toss and teeter. You don't need another breeder. What you need is a solid leader who can lip sync for his life. If you're wanderlusting cause your house is just disgusting and the IRS is just about to sue, I'll cook the books and let you give up taxes for Lent. If you just vote Randy Rainbow for president. Want free college and a plethora of knowledge and a doll who always calls it like it is. Tell Matt Gaetz I'm hiking up the age of consent when you vote Randy Rainbow for president. If you want a press who always does the things he says and sings his pressers in the style of Lamus, I'll replace Sean Hannity with 50 Cent. Just vote Randy Rainbow for president. Slogan in the hopes that it might grab you, thus in turn you'll feel my burn to make America more fabulous. And once you buy this bullshit, boy, will you be glad you bought it. You can even see my tax returns, just not right now, they're under audit. Let's redo the White House till it's brighter than a lighthouse and paint Air Force One so pink you'll wanna jizz. Every foreign trip will be a flashy event when you vote Randy Rainbow, just vote Randy Rainbow. From Russia down to Bethlehem, they'll dance for me like MGM. I'll make the King of England spill the tea. Wait till you hear Putin sing the score from Rent when you vote Randy Rainbow for president. veto all your bills and not the four with that abhorrent GOP. You'll be the wind beneath my wings on my ascendant, the desperate Randy Rainbow for president. I'll know all your names by heart and I'll make every war a party, and I'll do my best to utilize my common sense. I'll fill my cabinet with gays within my first 100 days and then make Ariana Grande Secretary of Defense.
Yes, I'll make Ariana Secretary of Defense.
So put me on the runway, let's do politics the fun way. I'm about to board a one-way to D.C. My age in Florida by his 10%. Just vote for Randy Rainbow for glamour and wit, and my State of the Union will be okay. Cut the sh.
Yes, just vote Randy Rainbow.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Janine.
Welcome to all my strong and very wealthy friends to Mar-a-Lago's Documents and Top Secret Files Emporium. Now, don't mind the smell. I just did a strong number three in this bathroom where we're keeping some of the high-profile files. Profile files, it sort of rhymes. I'm like a black. But it's I had a number three because when I do a number two, it's very strong. So we call it a number three. But good to see all of you. You're here representing Xi. Welcome. Very nice to see you. We've got all those files on Apple and other woke left tech companies that you're looking for. And there's my friend from Saudi Arabia. How are you? Good to see you. Good luck with all the purchasing of athletes. I think that will go very nicely. Trust me, golf players have very little morals. I say that as one of the great golf players. But we've got great information on Iran. And even a couple of things from our friends in Israel, because you've been so generous to me and Ivanka's husband, whatever the hell his name is. I hope they get divorced soon. And, oh, we can't forget our good friends from Russia. Hello, good to see you. Thank you for being here. We have great information on Ukraine, who, as you know, I never liked. So we'll start the bidding at, this file, by the way, is, we call it NATO. We call it NATO. A lot of important stuff here. So we'll start the bidding at 500,000. Going one. Okay, we have 500,000. Very nice. I can't count above that, but give me a lot of money and you'll get all the secrets. And if anybody has Febreze, we could use it because I think I just did another number three in my strong presidential diaper.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information.
Last week on Turn on the News.
Indicted.
As to be expected, the former president confirming himself that he and his attorneys have been informed, he writes that I have been indicted.
Which could send him to prison.
He has pled not guilty.
A 37-count indictment alleging that after leaving the White House, Mr. Trump illegally possessed classified government materials at his Mar-a-Lago home.
So this week, the former president went on Fox News to explain his side of the story.
The suggestion was that you wanted this as evidence that the military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, had preemptively sent you plans for a possible attack on Iran and that you didn't order that to happen. That's the suggestion.
I never ordered it to happen, no.
But that's why you wanted the document.
I don't think I've ever seen a document from Milley. Milley, frankly, was incompetent. The last one I'd want to attack with as my leader would be Milley. That I can tell you.
All right, last thing, 2016, you said that. I'm going to surround myself with only the best and most serious people.
We have to get the best people. We need to get the best and the finest. Well, I did do that.
This time.
We had tremendous, look, we had the best economy we've ever had. We have to get the best people. We need to get the best and the finest.
Your Vice President Mike Pence is running against you.
Yeah.
Your Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, she's running against you. Your former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he's not supporting you. You mentioned National Security Advisor John Bolton. He's not supporting you either. You mentioned Attorney General Bill Barr, says you shouldn't be president again. Calls you a consummate narcissist and troubled man. You recently called and Barr a gutless pig. Your second Defense Secretary is not supporting you. Called you irresponsible.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable. Throw in undependable too. for you. Well, I'm not too clever, I just adore you. Call me unpredictable, tell me I'm impractical. Rainbows I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible, yes, I'm unreliable.
This week, you and your White House called your White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, weak and ineffective and born with a very small brain. You called your acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, a born loser. You called your first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, dumb as a rock. And your first Defense Secretary, James Mattis, the world's most overrated general. You called your White House Press Secretary, Kayleigh Kenney, milquetoast. And multiple times you've referred to your Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, as Mitch McConnell's China-loving wife. So, why did you hire all of them in the first place?
Because I hired 10 to 1 that were fantastic. We had a great economy. We had phenomenal people in charge of the economy. We had phenomenal people in the military. I'm not a fan of Milley, and I'm not a fan of certain of the television people. But I knocked out ISIS. I defeated ISIS. They said, Mattis, it would take 3 years, and I don't think we can do it. I did it in a period of, like, 4 weeks.
There's a lot of people who praise you for your policies. I just said that.
That's true. Well, I mean, you just went through a list. But don't forget, for everyone you say, I had 10 that love us.
One is that his answers on the matters of the law seem to verge on incoherent.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information.
The only way NARA could ever get this stuff, this back, would be please, 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 could we have it back?
And they
please.
Asked for that.
Because they have no, we
they
were
did
talking.
Ask for it.
No, and
they said,
I gave
can you
them
give
some,
the documents back?
And we were talking.
And then they said, they went to DOJ to subpoena you to get them
which
back.
They've never done before.
Right.
It feels like the first time. Feels like the very first time.
And
but why
fairness,
not just hand them over then?
Because I had boxes. I want to go through the boxes and get all my personal things out. I don't want to hand that over to NARA yet. And I was very busy, as you've sort of seen.
Yeah, but I've according to the indictment, you then tell this aide to move to other locations after telling your lawyers to say you'd fully complied with the subpoena when you hadn't.
But before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
I don't want to dwell on it, but according to the indictment, you were here at Bedminster on July 21st, 2021, after you're no longer president, and you were recorded saying that you had a document detailing a plan of attack on another country that was prepared by the U.S. military for you when you were president, saying the document was secret, adding that you could have declassified it while you were president, but, quote, now I can't. You know, this is still secret, highly confidential. You can't declassify it, so why have it?
When I said that I couldn't declassify it now, that's because I wasn't president. I never made any bones about that. When I'm not president, I can't declassify.
And that's what you said. You didn't declassify
that. I said, no. I said I couldn't
declassify
it. But that wasn't a document. Brett, there was no document. That was a massive amount of papers and everything else talking about Iran and other things. And it may have been held up or may not, but that was not a document. I didn't have a document per se.
People in the room who
These
testified.
These people are very dishonest people.
What do you say to that female independent suburban voter who feels that way to win her back?
First of all, I won in 2020 by a lot, okay? You Let's know, get that straight. I won in 2020.
You know that this.
And if you look at all of the tapes, if you look at
shows.
Everything that you want to look at, you take a look at Truth to Vote, where they have people stuffing the ballot boxes on tapes. Or,
Mr. President,
let's go to recent. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to recent. FBI Twitter. Let's go to recent. The 51 agents. All corrupt stuff, Brett.
Understand about the Hunter Biden.
No, but
all
that's cheating
fair
on
things.
The election. But that's cheating on the election.
You lost the 2020 election.
You take a look at all of the stuffed ballots. You take a look at all of the things, including things like the 51 intelligence agents.
There were recounts in all of the swing states. There was not significant widespread.
We're trying to get recounts, real recounts, not just numbers of votes.
Widespread corruption, there was not a sense of that. There were lawsuits, more than 50 of them, by your lawyers, some in front of judges that you appointed.
Look at Wisconsin.
That came out with no evidence.
Wisconsin has practically admitted it was rigged.
Other states are doing the same right now, and it's continuing.
Potential case of voter fraud in six battleground states, and they found fewer than 475 cases.
You know why? Because they didn't look at the right things.
Okay, are you going
to
be
counting? They were counting ballots, not the authenticity of the ballot. The ballots were fake ballots. This was a very rigged
election. This is how you're going to tell that independent suburban voter
to
vote for you?
We're off to winning an election, and I think we're winning very well. I got a poll just recently. I have it here.
He seemed to be saying that the documents were really his and that he didn't give them back when he was requested to do so and when they were subpoenaed because, you know, he wasn't ready to because he hadn't sorted them and separated the classified information or whatever from his golf shirts or whatever he was saying. It was not altogether clear what he was saying, but he seemed to believe that the documents were his, that he had declassified them, evidence to the contrary, and therefore he could do whatever he wanted with them, which I don't think is going to hold up in court. Secondly, when you asked him what his pitch was to the kind of suburban female voter that he had lost in 2020, his answer was to talk about how he didn't lose the 2020 election. I don't think that's an appealing message for the future, and I'm sure his legal and political advisors were wincing all the way through his answers on both those points.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information.
We've been following the continued fallout from Donald Trump's primetime interview on Fox News this week, in which he doubled down on his handling of nuclear secrets after leaving the White House. Now, a number of well-known conservatives are wondering, what was he thinking? Some examples, conservative radio host and blogger Eric Erickson tweeted, quote, "Guys, Trump admitted on TV tonight he withheld documents from the grand jury. Game over legally. What an idiot." Talk show host Ed Morrissey tweeted, the first rule of federal indictment club is you don't talk about your case. And the second rule of federal indictment club is really don't do this. Did Trump just admit to obstruction on national television? And frequent legal commentator for Fox News, Jonathan Turley tweeted, Bret Baier conducted an extraordinary interview with Donald Trump, who discussed the criminal allegations in detail. Statements of this kind are generally admissible at trial. And then there's former New Jersey governor and current Republican presidential candidate, Chris Christie, who said this.
The problem for Donald Trump and all of this is his own conduct. He's his own worst enemy. None of this would have happened to him or to the country if he had just returned the documents. It appears to me last night, as a former prosecutor, that he admitted obstruction of justice on the air last night to Bret Baier. I can tell you this. His lawyers this morning are jumping out of whatever window they're near.
Add to that what Andy McCarthy, a contributing editor at National Review and Fox News legal contributor, had this to say on Hugh Hewitt's show last week, followed by reaction from former Attorney General under Trump, Bill Barr.
In terms of the president's defense that he declassified the documents, I'm not saying it has merit. But how does he get that into the record without appearing as a witness?
There would have to be, this is why I don't think he has a defense, Hugh. First of all, I think if you do that under the Presidential Records Act, there should be a document supporting it. Otherwise, he's got to have a witness that shows that he did it. I don't think he has that. And I also think it's irrelevant because it's not a defense to these charges.
But assuming he thinks it's a relevant argument and they want to make the argument to the jury, how do they even get the assertion that he declassified them in his mind into the record without him going on the stand? Go ahead, we can talk through the music.
Yeah, I don't see how he can do that. He's got to, if it's the operation of his mind, he's got to testify to it.
He's not a victim here. He was totally wrong that he had the right to have those documents. Those documents are among the most sensitive secrets that the country has. They have to be in the custody of the archivist. He had no right to maintain them and retain them. And he kept them in a way at Mar-a-Lago that anyone who really cares about national security, their stomach would churn at it. Here, I think the government acted responsibly. They gave him every opportunity to return those documents. They acted with restraint. They were very deferential to him, and they were very patient. They talked to him for almost a year to try to get those documents, and he jerked them around. They finally went to a subpoena, and what did he do? According to the government, he lied and obstructed that subpoena. And then they did a search, and they found a lot more documents. And they're not even, I don't think they're even sure now whether they have everything.
Yeah, and more from Barr, Neil Katyal, who wrote this recently for Free Press. For the sake of our country, our party, and a basic respect for the truth, it is time that Republicans come to grips with the hard truths about President Trump's conduct and its implication. Chief among them, Trump's indictment is not the result of unfair government prosecution. This is a situation entirely of his own making. The effort to present Trump as a victim in the Mar-a-Lago document affair is cynical political propaganda.
I mean, he has the right to remain silent. Like, this is a choice. So it's if not, you're his attorneys, what are you saying to him?
There's a reason that I think lots of reasonable people, Alicia, have refused this assignment, and that's because this is an ungovernable client. He not only has the right to remain silent, but every strategic bone in my body can't help but think he should remain silent because his admissions are building with each and every media appearance that he does. I think most people who have been involved in criminal defense watch this aghast, just thinking, where are the responsible people? And I actually don't blame the Todd Blanches and Chris Kises of the world. I think they're doing the absolute best they can with a person whose counsel, the only counsel he takes is his own. Right.
And Joyce, and if you're the prosecutors and you're watching that interview?
Well, you're certainly cataloging all of the president's, the former president's public appearances and making yourself a big batch of tapes that you may end up playing in your case in chief or on cross-examination of the witnesses. Because every time Trump makes one of these public statements, he's potentially contributing to the large pile of evidence that the government has against him. He's making it easier to cross-examine him. We saw how this played out in the E. Jean Carroll case, where some of the most powerful testimony there was his own deposition testimony, where he misidentified a photograph of E. Jean Carroll as his second wife, Marla Maples. And that certainly landed with the jury. Prosecutors will hope for a similar sort of a smoking gun here. And if the former president doesn't learn to quit talking, they're very likely to have it.
This is Donald Trump. This is how many times he has said, I did it, I did it.
I've known you for decades. I can't imagine you ever saying, bring me some of the boxes that we brought back from the White House. I'd like to look at them. Did you ever do that?
I would have the right to do that. There's nothing wrong with it.
When it comes to your documents, did you ever show those classified documents to anyone?
Not really. I would have the right to.
I had every right to have these documents. I hadn't had a chance to go through all the boxes. It's a long, tedious job. It takes a long time, which I was prepared to do, but I have a very busy life.
Isn't the fact that he's going to be campaigning all through next year, doesn't that actually compound his lawyer's challenge? Because he will get to talk almost every day. He'll be talking more on Fox. He'll be talking on Newsmax and OANN. Again, he's unfiltered. So every time he actually makes a speech, right, can prosecutors say, we're going to add that and add that and add that and add that to our evidence?
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem is there is no unified defense that the defense attorneys are going to be able to present. Because no matter what theory they go with, believe me, prosecutors will find a statement made by Trump that contradicts that theory. So what you're going to see is what we often see when the evidence is really strong. You're going to see a reasonable doubt defense. They're going to just throw a whole bunch of stuff out there. They're going to look for the low-hanging fruit in the jury box, maybe one or two people they believe they can dupe or deceive into finding reasonable doubt somewhere. And the other thing I predict, Joy, and I think, you know, Donald Trump will be pushing his defense team to do this. It's going to be attack, attack, attack the prosecutors, the FBI, the Democrats, attack, 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 and distract from the fact that the evidence of guilt is overwhelming. I don't think they're going to succeed at the end of the day. I think the tough part was getting this case indicted. But I've said once indicted, the case is going to try itself.
We're back with breaking news on Donald Trump's federal trial. Judge Aileen Cannon setting a tentative trial date for August 14th, just a few weeks from today. And right in the middle of primary campaigning, keep in mind this date is flexible.
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Randy Rainbow, Peaches and Herb, Bobby Darin, Foreigner, and Tom Petty. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Nora O'Donnell, J.L. Coven, Donald Trump, Michael Beschloss, Lester Holt, Brett Bayer, Britt Hume, Mika Brzezinski, Chris Christie, Hugh Hewitt, Bill Barr, Joe Scarborough, Alicia Menendez, Lisa Rubin, Joyce Vance, Sean Hannity, Kaitlyn Collins, Joy Reid, and Anna Cabrera.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.